Scripture readings this morning come from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 and then from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2. So first from Matthew 16 verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. And then from Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, when Paul has been writing about being one in Christ. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." May God add the blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Amen. As we share our morning offerings this morning, let us dedicate in prayer. And before we do that, we will pray once again for Charlene. Lord God, we just pray for your Spirit to be active upon Charlene, and thank you for those that are taking care of her right now. Lord, as she's had another episode, we pray for her strength and for her healing. And Lord, as we share in the ministries of the church in very real ways and in the offerings that we give, Lord, may you bless them all. In Christ we pray. Amen. I invite our ushers forward. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, we recognize the presence of your Holy Spirit amongst us. And Lord, in this time of meditation, may your Spirit speak through the words. Lord, may it just be glorious to you and bring peace to your people. Amen. In the sermon outline on page 6 in the bulletin, I reference an issue of TableTalkMagazine.com. It's a column from July of 2024, and the author of the column, Reverend J. Thomas, contrasted two realities of the Christian church. First, the reality that the local church is a refuge for the people of God. And then the second reality was that people in a local church can feel hurt and deceived, vulnerable and skeptical about the church being such a refuge. And so we have that contrast in reality. Now, as a Christ-ordained institution, the church is indeed a refuge. But the humanness of us, of people, can cause conflict to arise within the church. But that conflict does not erase or nullify God's provision of refuge in the church. Conflict. Conflict happens. There is a church located somewhere in Ohio that has been in existence for over 175 years. And over the years, different events have been recorded in their, quote, book of history. And one of their recent ministers was reading back over the different entries in that book and came across the following item from 100 years ago. We had fighting right here at home. The Democrats and Republicans were so bitter against one another, it broke the church up. One eyewitness reported a fist fight over the issue. Two of our best men fought to a finish. I've not seen that happen in the church, but it happened there. Church conflicts can happen for some pretty unusual reasons. In the 1890s, there was a small Baptist church in Kentucky. The church just had two deacons, and those two men seemed to be constantly arguing and bickering with each other. On a particular Sunday, one deacon put up a small wooden peg on the back wall so the pastor could hang up his hat. When the other deacon came in and discovered the peg, he was outraged. "How dare someone put up a peg without consulting me first?" he said. The people of the congregation took sides, and the congregation evenly split. Over 100 years later, residents of the area still refer to the two churches as Peg Baptist Church and Anti-Peg Baptist Church. I also read of a church who, years ago, bickered over the use of a piano. Some wanted to use a piano during Sunday worship, and others did not. The disagreements grew sharp, and the church divided into two sides over the issue. And then one Sunday, when members arrived for church, they discovered a new piano on the stage. To the disbelief of half of the congregation, someone played the piano during the service, and the furious members marched out of the building in protest. The following Sunday, everyone returned to church, but the piano no longer sat on the stage. Those who had bought the piano could not find it and immediately pointed fingers toward those who did not want the piano in the church. And for months, the piano remained lost. Accusations flew and tempers flared. Several months later, someone finally found the missing piano. It was in the baptistry. They had an indoor baptistry, a deep pool where you could put water in for baptizing individuals. For months, that's where it was hidden. Nobody found it. And it was said that when a church fights, baptistries remain unused. Now, I can't just talk about other churches because St. John's has had its share of conflict over the years. I'm not going to go into that list, but there have been conflicts. Conflicts and disunity between people of the congregation and between people and the pastor. It's an unpleasant reality that happens in the church because we're all human. But again, that does not nullify that the Christian church, through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the Christian church remains a refuge for the people of God. It's a safe and sheltered place where people experience fellowship with God and fellowship with people, a place in both spirit and physical presence where there is no danger, there is no anxiety, a dwelling place of God's peace, His understanding, and His compassion. Such refuge is described in many passages of Scripture, including the three passages that I have included on page 6 of the sermon outline from Psalm 46 and Psalm 118 and Proverbs 30. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountainside quake with their surging. It is the true word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. It doesn't say there's not going to be any trouble. It says an ever-present help in trouble. The psalmist who wrote this verse looked to God for help in difficult situations. And not only did the psalmist look for the help in God, he found his help in God. God himself was a place of refuge. God himself was strength. God alone was the psalmist's refuge and strength. And notice how the psalmist writes, God is not, that strength, that refuge does not come from a distance, but God is present and God is near. And therefore, we will not fear. The psalmist applies the logic of faith. Since God is a real refuge, since God is a real strength and help to his people, no logical reason for fear exists. It is how we face a new day. It is how we overcome. Though the earth give way, think about the most frightening natural trouble imaginable. All that can happen, God is greater than it all. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, to trust in people. We are to remain centered on, we are to remain filled with Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. A shield of protection. A shield is a defense against those arrows or those spears or those barbs that are thrown at you. Not only is it a sense of protection, that shield deflects all of that stuff away. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield of those who take refuge in him. And then from the two passages we've read from Matthew 16, the church is established and built by the Lord. Jesus recognizes what Peter has said. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And notice how that was revealed to Peter by God. Peter didn't think up that on his own, but God gave that word to Peter. And that's important for us to remember when we are seeking truth, when we are seeking refuge, that we are going to the true word in direction of the Lord. And Jesus says of Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Nothing will overcome it. And that is why the Christian church continues to this day. And then from Ephesians 2, the church is a refuge because it is the covenant community of God. Believe it or not, I think it's now 4 out of 5 Sundays someone has had a health issue during 8 o'clock or 10:30 service. And I don't know anything about it, and I just look up, and there's people gathered around that person to offer assistance and care. The covenant community of God. I went to a grad party yesterday afternoon out at King's Corner Garage. I don't know, half an hour before we got there, there was an accident right there at that corner. And some of the EMTs and fire people were right there at that party. They didn't even have to call. The squad did come, but they just ran right across. The community of God is there to help. We are fellow citizens with God's household, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. We are one in Christ, even through the conflicts and the differences. We are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. So God is our refuge. God is our refuge. The truth of the gospel is proclaimed in the Christian church. The sacraments of the church are administered within the Christian church. For the Christian church is a community of love founded upon the grace and truth that Jesus speaks of in John chapter 8. When someone was found in sin, Jesus knelt down. And when he stood up, he said, "Let the first one without sin cast the first stone." And everybody walked away. And then Jesus corrected that sinner and said, "Go forth and sin no more." There is grace and there is truth. And as we observe the sacrament of communion this morning and finish out this time of worship, I hope you can, in your mind, think of a time when you sought the Lord as a refuge. To think of that time when you prayed and you called out and the Lord was there. And you could write your own psalm about the Lord being your refuge and your strength. And as you think of those times, give your worship to the Lord. Amen. I invite you to turn to page 4 in your bulletin as we share in the words printed there in our time of Holy Communion this morning. So please respond as able. Come to the table of Jesus, our Redeemer, who invites us here as the part of the people of God. Come because you love God and want to love God more. Come because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us unite in our prayer of confession. Lord of grace and peace, I join in this prayer with fellow believers in preparing to receive these elements of faith, the bread and the cup. I open my soul to you, Lord, confessing my sin, expressing my sorrow, and seeking redemption that only comes through Jesus Christ. Fill me with your Spirit's presence, that I will know your will and walk in your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Through the sacrament of communion, we are called to remember that night in which Jesus would be betrayed, but first he had gathered in the upper room with the disciples. And while they were at the table celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And Jesus took the cup and said to his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." 3 Sundays ago, we confirmed 4 young confirmands. So I invite Tucker and Ethan and Jude and Elijah and their parents to come forward and receive their first communion. And you can stand here between the handbell tables and the first row of chairs. That's also where the servers of communion will stand. You can stand in any order you want. Just make sure child is next to parents or parents are next to child. I invite you to take these elements and to take them in as you receive the bread of heaven, broken for you, remembering him, take and eat. The body of Christ, given up for our forgiveness in his love. Again, take and eat. Because we are in the gym and we do not have those fancy communion cup holders in the pews, all of the cups today are plastic throwaway. So you get to keep them and throw them in a trash can on your way out. The cup of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ your Lord, remembering him, take and drink. A covenant of the sacrifice, sharing how much Jesus Christ loves you and welcomes you and receives you. to His glory. Amen. You may be seated. I invite the servers. Go forth and share these elements of love and forgiveness. The body of Christ, broken for you, united in Him, take and eat. Go forth and share these elements of love and forgiveness. The blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of sin, united in Him, take and drink. And shed for you. The body of Christ and the blood of Christ broken and shed for you. The body of Christ and the blood of Christ broken and shed for you. Let us offer together our prayer of gratitude. Holy God, we are grateful for the blessings received through this sacrament. Having remembered the sacrifice of Jesus, we know your compassion and love. Continue to transform us as your disciples so that we can be the body of Christ in the world, proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Amen and amen.
I invite you to rise as you're able as we close in song. We'll go to page 11 in your bulletin, sing the Solid Rock. And after the spoken benediction, we'll go to pages 8 and 9, the Trees of the Field.
Come with
people of God by grace, followers of Christ by choice, partners of the Spirit through faith, serve your Creator all your days. Amen.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth.